Every family, including parents with children, operate on what's called a calendar. And part of the calendar is reminding family members, whether it's your children, your spouses, or other family members, there are things they need to be aware that's coming up. And so, Mom, when you have your child there, you're going to be ready and say, in a few weeks, we're going to have spring break. And we're going to go somewhere fun, or we're going to go visit Grandpa or Grandma. For others, it's like, it's almost Christmas. What do we need to do to prepare? Or Easter, or it's your birthday. What do you want? Chicken nuggets again from McDonald's? Huh? No, you know. And so we do this type of preparation in the calendar because we live in different seasons. In our Catholic family, it's time to remember that our calendar is coming up. And it changes a little bit each year because in a few weeks, the season of Lent will begin. Now, I don't know about you Catholics there, but a lot of you just love Lent. You read it, you live it really good. And I think some of it is memory of what you gave up or how hard it was, or you like receiving ashes or palms or whatever that is, huh? And that's kind of in your memory as well. So I thought I would walk with you today as we prepare for February 14th, believe that or not. That's not only Arizona State's birthday, huh? But also some other day, I forget what it's called, huh? St. Valentine's Day, huh? And so it's Ash Wednesday. And so many people show up, and I thought, let's prepare for Lent together so that we just don't show up Wednesday and go, now what do we do? So let's think about it. So on Ash Wednesday, the church will be open all day because many Catholics and Christians come around because we found out if you give free stuff away, people show up. Huh? Same thing there. And so we see on the screens here, people come up, and what they receive from ashes is what? The cross. Isn't that interesting that we begin with the cross? At your very baptism, the very first thing the priest or deacon did was to make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Why? Because that's a way of life. It's sacrificial love. That, you know, discipleship is not about convenience. What we struggle with in our church is that we seem to treat consumerism as important to Catholics. And they tell us that. Which parish has the best children's program? Which mass fits my schedule? Which one has the funniest priest? Which one really am able to do it? And, oh, we would love to go to mass, but we got a tournament. Or we got friends. We got things. And, you know, faith, discipleship is always inconvenient. And we keep coming up with reasons because mass and faith is consumerism. Whatever fits our schedule is great because that's what the church is supposed to do. What does that cross say about that? Sacrificial. A commitment. And that's hard. And so we have a lot of people who are consumers but not really disciples. And Lent is that invitation to take more seriously the way of the cross. That it's a commitment that leads us to life, not just endurance of suffering and feeling miserable and bad about ourselves. It really is a way of life that Jesus gives to us. So when you come on Wednesday, you're going to be asked a question. Will you turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel? I've had people say yes. I've had some people tell me no. And other people will say, I'll try. Well, that's an honest answer, huh? But where are you at? And that's why when we give the ashes, you have the opportunity. And it is, again, learning to turn away from sin. Now, some of you might be aware of the state logo of Wyoming or the University of Wyoming, the Cowboys. And what they have on their logo is a bucking bronco with a cowboy on top of it. You've probably seen that and all. At the University of Wyoming, their arch rival is in Fort Collins called Colorado State University. So wherever there's official logo of the bucking bronco and the cowboy, the rear end of the horse faces Fort Collins. Isn't that the best image of Lent? Because what do? We turn our backs to sin, to selfishness, to things that make us less than disciples of Jesus. And I think that's a great thing. I've used that before, and I'll probably use it again. Turning away from sin. And so it's one with the cross. We go forth, and we remember what that call is. Now, Lent also leads us to celebrate, and I'm using the right word, to celebrate confession or the sacrament of reconciliation. The whole purpose of Lent is to help us prepare to celebrate Easter. Easter lasts for 50 days. How long does Lent last? That's right. So why are you all Lent people? You guys do it well. But you know what? We prepare to live. And so reconciliation is a way, what? To celebrate mercy. The cross ends with resurrection and the forgiveness of sins. That's what we should be doing well, but we're afraid. So look at that man up there. What's his name? Huh? Some little kid today at 8:30 said, St. Francis. Well, maybe one day. We don't know. But Pope Francis, and look, he's going to confession. Some of you have been away for a long time, but here's the problem. When you're at your little cocktail parties, you laugh about it, and you go, oh, I haven't been to confession in 40 years. Like it's some kind of medal. Why do we honor that? Now, it doesn't mean you have to go every week, but if you've been away for a long time, what a great example. But also celebrate. See, this is what Christians miss. It is celebrating God's mercy. Have you ever been forgiven? Have you ever had someone tell you your debts are paid? You're forgiven. You no longer have to walk around thinking that you're never forgiven. And to be released and have another human being tell you your sins are forgiven. And yet we walk around and go, I haven't been in 40 years. I think we need to change that this year. And here's the invitation. Priests will be available every week for you. And the big celebration we'll have that you'll see there here at the end of Lent, just the week before Easter, right in that particular week. So, but the Pope also, on the next slide, celebrates that sacrament. Huh? A lot of priests find this to be the best sacrament because it's very powerful, because priests are beset with sin too. And if anything, we know what sin is, the struggle, and it is for you. So remember, some of you have great doctors and some of you have very poor doctors, but you still need health. You have some priests that are great confessors and others, pew, wouldn't give them the time of day. Everybody has gifts. And maybe you'll find that priest that is forgiving. And I want you to know, I've been a priest for 40 years. I don't remember any sins. I can barely remember who's in the playoffs, you know? And I can't remember all that. So I don't go around thinking, oh, I remember you came 20 years ago. Are you still robbing bubblegum from Circle K? You know, I don't even think about that. That's the last thing. I'm thinking about the next thing I got to do. You're not on my mind. And your sins are not on my mind. If anything, I really remember the ones where someone cries and goes, thank you. I've been carrying this for 50 years, and your words make me feel better. I remember those, but not your sins. So I'd ask you to think about that. The next thing is almsgiving is a part of Lent. Even Jesus talks about remembering the poor. That a life of selfish, of saying, me first, my money first, I'm first, our country's first, everyone's first, that's not a word of discipleship. It is service, but almsgiving. And I ask you to think about what organizations, what group of people. At 8:30 Mass, we had all the children up, and I said, who are poor people? They came up with a great list. And they're going to maybe save some money during Lent. And so you're going to get our packet really soon. And we have built 50 houses at St. Patrick, two a year. The last 25 years, thanks to your giving, and some of you have used your own hands to help build these homes for people. And so we're going to be sending that out to you. Maybe that could be one of your almsgiving. Put some money aside each time that you prepare so that at Easter time you bring that gift. And we're preparing for our 51st house. But you may have other organizations that you love. But almsgiving is part of Lent. Not just thinking of ourselves, me first. It's learning that others are placed first. It's called serving. And some of us could really be challenged, but also invited to that, to be aware, or be sure that that's part of our Lenten journey. The second part is one that's my favorite, huh? Is no meat. Huh? No meat on Ash Wednesday or on Fridays during Lent. Now, here's what I want you to know about McDonald's. They know Catholics don't eat meat on Fridays. They've already ordered. I used to work at Burger Chef for a year in Flagstaff. We sold more Mariner fish dinners and Skipper treats, they were called, than anything else during Lent. Fast food people know you eat fish or don't eat meat, and they're prepared for you. But here's the question at St. Patrick's: do Catholics know they do that? Now, it doesn't have to be meat. Maybe it could be something else, something that you offer and give up. It's a penance. It's a way that you do that that can help you live your discipleship and to free us from things. Some of the kids are going to give up TV time, their computer time. Maybe they're going to be kinder to friends, because it's not only giving up, but it's about living. And you know, it has to be more than giving up chocolate, because here's what Catholics do. I gave up milkshakes, and woo, man, on Easter, I drank five of them. Woo, now it's over with. And now it's done, and I can move on. How we practice at Lent needs to be lived for 50 days and beyond. We just don't stop and go, it's over with, that was just pure suffering. And this is where Catholics get mixed up. They think that suffering and beating themselves up during Lent is good, and then when Easter comes, they're all free, then they go do whatever they want. No, it helps us live that life. So if you remember, please don't call me up in the middle of the night and say, you know what, I'm going to a dinner and they're going to serve steak. Can I be freed from hell? No, you're going to go straight there because you called me in the middle of the night. Don't be legalistic about it, okay? And I don't feel sorry for you. Coach Dallas, who was up here, and I, we went to, many years ago, to an ASU coaches clinic. We're learning about coaching and all. And it was a Friday, and we forgot all about it. And they were feeding the coaches and the entire ASU football team the most barbecue meat you could see everywhere. And I'm ready to go in and dig in, and Dallas goes, hey, isn't it Friday during Lent? And I went, ah. So while the whole team was chewing down on the great barbecue meat, he and I had to have tuna salad. So if you want any sympathy from me, you're not getting it, okay? If I could give that up, so can you. But the intent, though, is what kind of sacrifice? Maybe it might be giving up dessert. Maybe taking on other things. Maybe you want to be kinder at the office. Maybe you want to be a better listener. Maybe be kinder to your family members or whatever it is that you can do. I want you to think about that, because you know, fasting is part of that. It's part of doing less, and it's part of freeing ourselves up and being prepared. Two more things we want to do is the listening sessions are coming up. The listening session, there you go. That's in Rome, and that's of people from around the world that were around tables talking there. And so they talked about what's going on in the church. It's called synodal. It's looking together but learning to listen. And so we're going to invite you to listening sessions, maybe to talk about three things. How about mental health and the issues that we deal with it? We hear from teens all the time that struggle, and some of them can't get in. Some aren't aware that Catholic Charities and St. Patrick's will help you if there's a financial problem. In other words, there's no reason, no money reason to stay away. That will support you. So does Catholic Charities. There are counselors ready, and you can do it online if you don't have the time. There is necessary need. You may think you don't need it or you don't think it matters in the church, but when teens who I work with and others who are suffering, it's a big problem. Teenage suicide is one of the biggest problems right now. And if all we do is go in church and pray, and that's it, and we ignore it, we're missing the point. But we want to hear from you. What keeps you up at night about mental health? What are your concerns? The other thing would be, again, the charisms of women in the church. What is it that we do to honor them? We need to talk about that and know what role that they have. And the other one is, how has the church supported you or not supported you? Those are just some of the examples, but the listening sessions are meant for us to hear one another's story. And the Pope has done that well, and he's turning us into a church that's going to listen. There's a lot of resistance from clergy right now, including in our diocese. I'm going to have to call them out on that, because they don't want to know what you think. It's dangerous. It's hard. I'm afraid what you're going to tell me. But you know what? That's how church should be. That the clergy is the servant of all of you. And people want a church where you pray, pay, and obey. Just do what the priest tells you, and then you don't have to think about anything. That's not the church Pope Francis wants. Your opinion, your thought, ability for the church leadership to listen to you matters. We were one of the few parishes that took that seriously, and I'm very sad about it. But our new bishop is really calling forth on that, and he's not giving up. We're going to look for ways of how we can listen to our people. And last, just a few other things to do. How about making scriptures center? On the next slide, we have what's called Christ in Our Neighborhood. After Mass, how about getting the Bible together and learn to read? How about in your own family? Just look for the scriptures. They'll give you information out there where you get the upcoming Sunday readings and talk about your faith. How about with your coworkers or your neighbors or your friends or your family, whoever that is? That's important. Kevin Saunders will be here, and Becky Eldridge will be coming again. She was one of our last speakers before COVID hit, and she's coming back now, and her theme will be how to reconnect people to their spiritual lives. Because there's a lot of people that come and go. They show up to Mass once, and then we don't see them for 2 months, and then they come again. And then they don't show up for a long time, and they come. Because you know why? We learned a valuable lesson during COVID. We can live without church. We can. Because we made other things more important. And so there's a lot of people who used to do so much here. They just need that extra nudge and encouragement. But they've gone. And they know they should be here. We always invite them. Oh, yeah, Father, we'll hear you later. We need to reconnect how we were before in our faith. Reconnect with our good memories of faith. Look at all the things you used to do. And it's harder now, and it's changed. And all we need is that encouragement and invitation that people regain their traction in their spiritual life and know that they need community, and the community needs them. So when does Lent start? That's for the 14th. Just remember St. Valentine's Day. You'll be fine. You're all going to be here for your ashes. I know that. We're honored to do that all throughout the day. You'll see the schedule there. And it begins with the sign of the cross, and we continue. Don't eat meat on Ash Wednesday or Good Friday, right? Don't call me up and say it's okay to get an exemption. That ain't happening, okay? But just do whatever sacrifices you can do. I'm just reminding you, the calendar's coming up, and it's time for Lent and Easter.